What's up, everybody? I'm JJ John Jastrzemski.
And I'm Jason Goff. And if you haven't heard, The Ringer has gone local.
I'm bringing the fire. I'm bringing the rain from the Big Apple with my show, New York, New York.
And I'm repping Chi-Town with my new show, The Full Goal, on all things Chicago.
We've got episodes 3 nights a week with all the reaction to the local teams and guests.
Plus bonus episodes around all the big games and storylines.
So whether you're uptown, downtown, in the burbs, or a transplant,
make sure you follow New York, New York, and The Full Goal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, it is, December 2nd. Jesse just brought something. First of all, I just got off the phone. There's actually some massive hobby breaking news that Jesse hasn't even seen yet. We're going to lead with that, Jay. That's going to be big picture today. More importantly, Jesse has, it's the optics, but he just leaned back. Of course, he's the tank top sports boy. Ronick, we'll make sure we get this in a clip.
No.
For some reason, it looks as though Jesse has the bust of a... What do you, I don't even know, like an elephant of some kind.
It is a busty.
It is wider than the screen.
It's the fisheye. It's a fisheye lens. Please That's move on fish. From this topic.
That's a big fish.
It's the worst thing ever. Listen,
I just hit record.
I'm tanking, boy.
Oh, we're tanking already. Oh, God. Yeah, no arguments there.
I said to myself, what are you wearing for the show today? I said, where's your next tank top? I only have two. And I wore this one. And it was a bad choice. Lateral lines. You don't go horizontal lines on a man my size.
Hey, guys. I hate to interrupt the show banter, but we have a guest.
Do we have news to break? What is this?
Dear sweet heavens.
I've been begging the guy for 2 months to come on the show. I actually have important news to break, and he shows up. Show him your bust when he gets on here, Jesse.
This is the worst day for Bill to come on. This can't be happening.
Bill, can you see
what is happening right now?
Here's the deal. When you envisioned The Ringer, did you ever envision that? So did that bad. Ever come into your play?
Why is he wearing that?
It's hard to
all
say.
All of my previous shirts were Dell shirts, Mr. Simmons. And now that I'm on the official Ringer staff and not Dell, I only have tank tops and I have no excuses. I'm sorry,
sir. What a day for Bill to come to the show.
And Mike, what's coming on with your hair? You're growing it out? What's happening
blowing
there?
Blowing it out, buddy. Living the dream.
Blowing it out? Big time? Oh, yeah. Blow drying it?
Sure. Yep. Oh, it's been a good week. How are you, sir?
I came on to tell you, I think you guys know, but maybe you don't, but we've renewed the show for a season 2.
What? Hey!
Whoa!
Jesse, lose the shirt. Get rid of that tank top. Is this official?
No, don't take your shirt off. Please don't take your shirt off, Jesse.
Never mind. I'm putting it back.
We're coming back for round 2.
I think we're already in year 2, but I had them because I was supposed to come on like a week and a half ago to tell you, but you had some guests and Ronick big time me. He told me
he does that all. He's smart.
Yeah.
He
said like,
no, they have some fanatics guy. He's more important than you. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to lie to you.
The Luber thing was pretty big. You're always top of the scale, but that is probably the most response we've got from an episode.
That's fine. I backed off. I do what's best for the pod. I'm not about ego.
So we're signing off for another. This is actually, this is pretty big. I'll be honest with you. We were on the fence. I thought, you know, Ringer's got a lot of new shows. They got a bunch of things going on. I could see them saying, hey, it was a fun year.
Well, we had a good year one.
I thought so too. I'm pumped.
Yeah. I mean, obviously way too much banner at the top. Way too much. You guys don't listen to notes. You'll listen to a note for one episode and then ignore it and just go back to where you started.
It's accurate.
But that's fine. I kind of let it go at this point.
I don't know what to say.
You can only do so much. Same thing as when you're a parent, you can only try to guide your kids. You can you can teach them, you can protect them, but ultimately there's a point where you have to kind of send them off. You send them off to school and you just cross your fingers and you hope it's okay. And that's kind of what's happened with this pod.
You've I've let you know,
like too much banter at the top. You're like, okay, cool. We hear you. We're still going to have banter at the
more
top.
More banter at the top.
More banter at the top.
I was actually going to bring this up on today's show. If Sports Cards Nonsense is our baby, am I the mom and Mike's the child?
That bust, you're the mom now. With that shirt, yeah.
Am I the mom?
All right. Well, there you go. This is very exciting. Is this the first time you've announced live? Is this the first time you've gone on a podcast to do this?
Do you do this for everybody?
It's the first time I've had to. I've never had hosts like just openly wonder and worry on their actual shows about it. Just to be this transparent.
Wow.
So you're commending us for the transparency, not a fan of the banter.
I was more worried about the transparency.
Oh, okay. We try to be transparent.
I have some basketball thoughts.
Hit them, because then we actually have the huge breaking news in the card world. So we want
what's the breaking news? Can I be here for the breaking news? What is it?
I just got off the phone. PSA, Jesse hasn't heard this yet either. PSA just bought Card Ladder. Total buyout.
What?
This is not a sports super themed thing, but Card Ladder is already the best. They are already the best team for tracking prices, collections. It's just the most accurate. And now they have the biggest bankroll in the hobby behind them.
Holy cow, this is actually massive
news. We're going to get one of them on next week because this is actually a big thing. And the nice thing is there's going to be a lot of other companies that are going to get smashed by this, which I like.
Just to confirm, this is like already in the news media. Like Chris didn't like reach out and
PSA tweeted about it. I just called Christina. Just got off the phone.
Mike's spitefulness toward places he doesn't like is one of the best things about this podcast. You're very Italian. As a 50% Italian, I appreciate it.
See? And immediately my thought was, I'm super happy for Chris, Christine, and Josh, and I'm super excited to dance on graves in the upcoming weeks. I'm going to just give 30 more seconds and I'm done, because then we want Simmons notes. So they're sold in its entirety. The entire team is staying on. There's going to be a live crossover on Instagram Live with Nat Turner tonight at 9. It's literally the same exact service. We are still the only affiliate, Sports Cards Nonsense, because Bill Simmons has blessed us with his blessing. You can still get the discount code on our website. Everything stays the same. They're going to have a huge team. There's going to be more cards. So there you go.
Wow.
Sports Minute done.
Couldn't PSA have spent that money on grading more cards or no? We're still like an 18-month wait?
It's getting better.
I'll
be honest with you. They're kind of on my... I like Card Ladder, so I'm going to excuse PSA. Okay. Otherwise, PSA is not really on my grade list, which is fine.
At this point, though,
I like PSA.
If they grade any faster, we were going to talk about this a little bit in mailbag. But if they graded any faster, you would see such a glut into the market. I feel like you'd see a little bit of a shock of prices just suddenly drop drastically if they were to flood due to any more grading.
Yeah, but on the flip side, there's nothing on eBay ever anymore. It's depressing.
That is true.
I search for the vintage NBA. It's not just depleted. It's gone.
Any big pickups we need to know about lately?
Oh yeah. So, my pickups?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I have a couple small things, but there's a couple auctions that are happening. I don't know if you know about the Sly Stallone auction this weekend. I'm kind of checking that one out. Stallone's auctioning off a lot of his stuff on Julian's auctions.
Right.
I shouldn't even promote this because I'm hoping nobody knows. But I don't know if Sly's cleaning out his garage or if he's low on funds or he just is like hit this point where he just realized like, why do I have all this stuff? But there's a lot of stuff going, like scripts, props from movies, like all kinds of Rocky memorabilia.
Is he hurting for cash?
I doubt it. I think he's made an incredible amount of money. I mean, he has had a couple divorces. Divorces do deplete the funds.
Huh.
So there's some stuff like that. But no, for the new product, when do we care about basketball? Like what is the prisms haven't come out yet, right? It's still two months.
Everything is still last season. And because of the production slowdown, everything is still LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards. Like Optic Contenders, which is an awesome product, came out yesterday. That's LaMelo's class, not this one. There's no pro uniform from the 2021 class yet. Because
I talked about Edwards on my podcast on Tuesday with Waz. I've been enchanted by him all year. I think he's for real. And I actually think if you're comparing him versus LaMelo, I would actually give a slight edge to Edwards for who's going to be a bigger asset the next 15 years.
Is Minnesota going to win enough games to sustain his hobby?
Yeah.
That's my only curiosity.
I think they could be a top six playoff team this year. bit more because of all the injuries in the West, because Denver's lost. Denver's gotten crushed. The Clippers have been like smoke and mirrors. It's basically Paul George and a bunch of role guys.
Because Kawhi's still months away, right?
Yeah, the Kawhi might not even be back this year. Then you have, you know, Dallas is kind of secretly a mess and don't look very well coached, and Luka's a little out of shape. So I actually think Minnesota, there's a path for them to get into the top six. But the Edwards thing is real. And we pulled, Ben and I, we did in one of the packs we did, we pulled like a 1 out of 25. I think it was a National Treasures auto card.
Really? That's going to be huge.
We were excited
money.
About when it happened. Now it's, I feel like that's probably like 5-tupled. But in general, his birthday was August 2001. So he turned 24 months ago. He's already
he's
built
baby.
Like a grown ass 30-year-old man. And he's starting to do stuff in games that's really different. Like athletically, I feel like there's a little Giannis LeBron kind of level of just he's like a freak athlete on that level. So we'll see. I think LaMelo's getting more hype, but to me, Edwards is right there.
So I am curious because there's nothing to really tell our listeners like, hey, for 2021 stuff, this is what you want to look at. So we focused, actually, we talked about last show. I like LaMelo. Maxey is the dude who's come out of nowhere.
Yep.
I thought Maxey would be a cool contributing player with zero hobby value. He's quickly become the third most valuable guy in that class in terms of hobby. Like people are just enchanted with that dude.
Well, he's tailed off a tiny bit because I think he took people by surprise the first few weeks, but now the league's starting a game plan for him and stuff, and he can't really shoot threes yet. So I think that's hurt him a little, but you're right. I think for where it was before the season versus where it is now, he's probably past Haliburton.
In value, he certainly has.
Yeah, but just, I also think as talent, I think Haliburton took a huge step back. I'm looking at the class.
Yeah, Wiseman was the other guy who was hot at first, but the injury killed him. Although he's coming back, he's in the G League now. But I don't know how much he contributes on that team, especially if Klay comes back. Like, how much room is there?
I would have Cole Anthony third over just because I've been, Cole Anthony's knocked my socks off this year. It's not just like that he's scoring more, like he rebounds. He's like at 7 rebounds a game. He makes threes. He's really competitive. And I think he's actually a better player than Maxey is. So that those would probably be the four. The Patrick Williams getting hurt.
Yeah.
Really sucked because that was going to be a playoff
team. He was just getting traction too. The only thing that scares me about Cole Anthony for the hobby, I think he's good on court. I just wonder, like, when your team is going to win 12 games a season, like, I don't know how bad it's going to hit your pricing. Because that Orlando Magic team is brutal.
Right. But he's
played
good.
Great, though. He can score.
Yeah, at least, like, he's good and he's competitive. There's some guys that might be cross-off guys just quickly going through that class.
Well, you're writing people off. We're all about negativity. Please, have at it.
I think Hayes on Detroit is a cross-off. And it's a tough... KOC was big on him. And I think he does have talent, but even KOC admits it. Like, we just haven't seen any of it. It seems like he's like a half step too slow. I haven't liked really anything I've seen from him. I think he's a cross off. There's some other guys like Okongwu got hurt again. I don't know from an injury standpoint. I liked him in the playoffs last year. And then Williams, I think, is a good buy because I actually think he's good and he's young. He just got hurt. But
and he's back in, what, a month or two for Chicago?
I think it's later than that. It could be March, April, or it might not be at all. Toppin really intrigues me because I do think the Knicks are a trade candidate, and I think Toppin's good. But back to Maxey, though, I do think that's the logical Dame Lillard trade, where it's like Simmons and Maxey and picks for Dame if Portland keeps going south. Portland's looked bad this year, and they have the best package to put together now that Maxey's a real asset. So if you think of Maxey from that respect, like, what if this guy got traded to a team where he becomes the guy? That would be another one.
So that would scare me, though. He becomes a guy, but that team is brutal.
Yeah.
But maybe. Dame, can you imagine Dame playing in Philly? Because the Dame market has cooled off, because we see the same thing every year with Dame. He goes on these stretches where it's like unbelievable, averages 40 and 11. He wins a couple playoff games single-handedly, but at the end of the day, they don't win a big series. If he went to Philly, that's a scary team.
Dame seems like he hasn't been right for about 6 months. Like, even in the Olympics, he sucked. It's a shame that the 2021 stuff isn't out yet, though, because I have some like hardcore opinions on some of these guys. First of all, I think this is like a phenomenal class. Like, phenomenal.
I had this discussion yesterday with somebody, and they said the same thing.
It's really high, really high end. Like,
who
you're
are
talking,
the stars, though? That's what I need. Because for hobby's sake, like, I just worry.
Mobley. Mobley is like, imagine. I don't think he's going to be as good as Duncan was, because Duncan is probably the seventh best player of all time.
You have him ahead of Kobe, by the way?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that makes me happy, because it never happens anymore.
You know why? Because I like titles, and I like winning consistency, and Duncan won five titles where he was the best player at all five of the teams.
When I said Kobe, I like Kobe on a previous show with you, you also read the reference, I like guys who win more than one MVP.
Right.
I agree.
And people do the thing where they're like, Kobe only won one MVP. It's like, all right, let's go through the seasons. What was the other one he should have won? And nobody can come up with an answer. All right, here are the guys. Mobley, I think, is generationally good. Okay. I think he could be a potential like KG level guy. Like, I really do. I think he could be like the best player on multiple title teams. That's his ceiling.
What about Scotty Barnes?
Scotty Barnes, yes.
You like Scotty. High on Scotty.
High on Scotty. I'm not as high as some other people. People were talking about how I saw a couple people say like he's a possible like first team all NBA guy someday. I don't know if I see that, but I think he's a possible multi all-star. Like him. Cade, I like less than most, but a lot of people in my life are still like really bullish on Cade.
It's amazing to me how
high as much.
Yeah, people are so high on him. I know he's only played a few games anyways because he was hurt to start, but like I don't, and maybe he flips a switch. I just see him as like a borderline all-star type guy.
The problem is there's so many good people at that position. That was why I thought Mobley should have gone first. You can get guards everywhere. You know, like, let's say De'Aaron Fox is available, which he probably is because he hasn't played well this year. Like, how many teams would actually want to trade for De'Aaron Fox? How many teams would want a max guy at point guard? How many teams even need a point guard? So that was why I thought Mobley should have gone first. Jalen Green, he's super raw, super young. Offensively, seems like he has it, but too early to tell, and he's also on a bad team with bad habits, but I still like him.
He really is the guy, Giddey. By the way. Jalen Green, hobby-wise right now, is the number one guy still.
Well, that's because people are morons.
Yeah.
Mobley should be the number one guy, and it's not even close. Like, if you're buying Jalen Green over Mobley, you're not watching basketball.
You know what it is? It's the Instagram thing. Jalen Green came in as a LaMelo-type Instagram star. That's why his price is from day one. Oh, I'm not. Trust me. I never underestimate stupidity. I agree with you. But yeah, he's been super hot.
Really like Franz Wagner. I'm not alone in that opinion. And I think he's way better than I think a lot of people thought. And Mitchell on the Kings is another one. Like, he was awesome against the Clippers last night. At the very least, he's going to be like just an absolute bitch to play because of how good he is on defense. But the guy, Giddey, is another one that I think has a chance to be really good. So I just listed eight guys, but the guy who is the guy who I think the value will be low and is the guy I would go after is Kuminga. Who I did not like going into the draft, but I think
I don't even know who he plays for, right? Who drafted him?
He's Golden State.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They kind of play, he's been so good for them, like in practices and stuff, that they've kind of like, they can't like resist throwing them out there sometimes. He's what they weren't expecting, and maybe he just went to the perfect team. Like, there's like Kawhi, Paul George defensive possibilities with him on top of like how talented offensively he is, but they've been throwing him out there and he's been like guarding real guys and he's long and tough and really seems competitive, which I think was the big knock on him going to that team. So Kuminga, when are these cards coming out? I have so many moves I want to make.
That's what's tough. There's nothing pro uniform even scheduled as of right now. And we still have three or four massive releases. Flawless from last year hasn't come out yet, which is going to have a couple six-figure logo men cards.
That's a bummer.
That's
the other
what
one
I mean.
I like is
brutal.
I like Şengün on Houston, the center, who I think near this, like probably the last 30 games of the year is going to start putting up stats and people are like, oh, where'd this guy come from? Just like a really good offensive center.
So then the timing's interesting. Yeah. When do these products start dropping and what are these kids doing then?
So Kuminga, we might be okay because I'm not sure he's ever going to really get playing time this year, but I think it's going to be one of those things where eventually they're not going to be able to keep him on the court. Mobley, Cleveland's going to be a playoff team and the Mobley thing will flip and he will pass Jalen Green. I still don't totally see the Cade thing. I know he's good, but I don't see a path for him to be like a multi-time all-NBA guy, which I think is what you need if you're spending real money on a rookie card.
Yeah, that's what scares me about him. Like, yes, and the comparison was made somewhat to the Zion market when he came out. Market in terms of team he went to. Zion went to the Pelicans. Who cares? Cade went to Detroit. I get that. But like Zion and Ja were stars day one. Like it didn't matter that they went to small market teams. They were just stars. There has not been that with Cade. So I do wonder once, but there's also nothing really to gauge it on. We've got college product out, which is such a weird, you know, some guys are just chasing their alma maters and college guys, but then they come out in pro uniforms and no one cares and vice versa. Then pro uniform stuff comes out and we see the market. There's nothing to base it on. We've talked less about basketball in the last month for that reason. There's just nothing like Curry's unbelievable. And he's like doing stuff, by the way.
Well, Curry's like, that's becoming like a Brady situation where even though the prices were too high, you probably still like should have gone in. Yeah, now it looks like, oh shit, this guy's one of the top 15 guys of all time and he's potentially going to win another MVP and they might win the title again and why did I sit this out?
Okay, here was my thesis the other day. That's not the right word. I don't know what a thesis is. If he wins MVP this year and
He's not going to.
You don't think so?
I think Giannis is going to win again. Giannis is the best player in the league. I'm buying all Giannis. I think Giannis is actually undervalued.
Oh, he's super cheap.
Giannis is the best player in the league. KD is second, and Curry and Jokic are like 3A, 3B. But Giannis is unbelievable. There's nobody like him. And for some reason, nobody wants to admit it. I think part of it is he doesn't have that PR machine behind him that just is like floating stories and he just doesn't care. He's just out there like kicking everybody's butt.
You see how he was holding up basketball cards the other day. He's like, if this doesn't work out, here's my retirement. He started flipping through some cards he was holding. That dude's got a collection that is supposed to be like he has a bunch of his own one-on-ones and stuff.
I have a topic for Jesse.
Okay, oh my God, am I still here?
Jesse's been sitting here. He wasn't. Hey, real quick, Bill, let me ask you one last question.
I'm just trying to run a play for Jesse.
One last question and I'm out of the way. If Curry goes MVP in Western Conference Finals, I'm not giving him a ring. Can we finally put him above KD all time?
No.
Really? Ugh.
Now, KD's about to pass Kobe for me. I have Kobe 9 and Durant 10. And if KD gets to another Eastern Finals and he beats whoever and makes the finals again, I think he has to pass
Even
Kobe
though he's the most point. Has the most spineless move of all time joining the Warriors,
He's the best scoring forward who ever lived.
Oh, boy.
That's all just the reality of it. Nobody has scored 30 points plus night after night, like there's nobody like him. All right, here's my Jesse thing.
Yeah, talk to Jesse. I don't, after that, I'm good.
Oh, hey, Bill, how are you?
We got to get Mike to sell his Zions.
I can't now.
Yeah, that's the only thing is like, if we sell now, we're kind of at the bottom. You don't think there's any hope for him, though?
I think it's a sell.
Really?
Even though it's gone down, I think it's like
cut losses, you're done.
I don't know.
I think you've already lost and it's not coming back.
It just seems like all that, like he's gotten so much notoriety for the weight gain and for everything else, the injuries. It seems like some of that's got to hit home and like, okay, time for a major change. Maybe he comes back and it's like, you know, game time. I'm getting back serious because I have all this pressure from outside sources on me. But you disagree.
That's the most optimistic thing I've ever heard from a guy wearing a weird tank top.
We don't usually say a lot.
I liked Bill a lot better before the last 3 minutes. I'm going to tell you that. He crapped on my Curry take. He's cutting losses on Zion.
Not crapping on the Curry take because he might win the MVP and that team might win 65 games. I just think Giannis is the best player in the league. And at some point, Milwaukee's won, I think, 8 already. They might roll off like 20 in a row here for all we know.
Are you going to be curious about the Zion thing, though? Seriously. You just think it's
bad.
Is it a weight thing, an injury thing, combination
of
everything?
Do you know things we don't?
He can't stay on the court and he can't stay in shape.
Yeah. The in shape thing scares me even more than the injury stuff, to be honest.
It's really upsetting. It's really concerning. And he's had some rough below the waist injuries now, right? He's had this Jones fracture, which
those never heal anyways.
Tough one. KD, he basically got shut down for an entire season because of that. He's had knee stuff. Just the way he plays with all the people who are online, like the amateur medicine people who are like, oh, the way he runs, he's going to keep having problems and things like that. But I didn't, if his cards have dipped too low, maybe it's,
oh, they're
at
low.
This point, maybe it's worth keeping. But if there's optimism out there, I would sell.
So my I spent right at 43,000. When was that show, Jesse? Like a month? Oh no, it was before the season. So 2 months ago, I was like, you know what? He's going to miss a little time, but that's okay. Then I got a call from Vernon. He had some sources as well and said it's crap. And I was like, this is not good.
I would have recommended against that.
I bought low, though, at the time. The 43 is worth about 29 right now. Not Oof. Even. Probably a little less than that.
His Prism card actually just spiked yesterday. So as of the 30th, it was 262. This is his Prism PSA 10, and it just went up to 300. So maybe now, if you are on the side of Bill and he's not coming back, then this is probably going to be.
Can we retape like a 2-minute pump and dump real fast so I can get out from under the Zion stuff?
Well, if it's already down, you're probably worth. It's probably worth holding on, hoping he looks good for 2 weeks.
I just need a flash. That's all I need. A flash from Fatty.
By the way, I have a lot of concerns with Ja too for different reasons. Earmuffs, Chris Vernon. I just think he's so fearless with the way he plays. It really scares me the way he plays. He's just
injury
has
prone.
No regard for his own safety at any time. And I think those are the guys like Derrick Rose was like that in the late 2000s, early 2010.
That's
and then
the
he
comparison.
Finally got hurt.
That's someone that scares me.
He's just completely fearless. So he's trying to dunk over everybody. He's trying to fly into people. So that stuff worries me. What's the Simmons market right now?
Bill Simmons?
No, the Ben Simmons.
Oh, horrendous.
Your son? Also
honestly,
good.
I think at some point we got to start. I think at some point he becomes a buy. Is he going to play this year? If you had to bet right now, is he playing this year or no?
I think it might be a buy right now.
He's smirking.
How low
audience,
is it?
Audience, he's smirking. I'm telling you right now. He knows something.
Because I think he's going to get traded in the next 2 months. I think he does have value. And he was one of the 18 best guys in the league. He was the best defensive player in the league last year. Like
he's not
a write-off.
He just hit a 6-month low as of the 26th. He was about 112 for his Prism PSA 10. But he just spiked
his
as
Prism's,
of yesterday.
His Prism's 112?
That's nothing.
It was. As of a week ago, it was 112. As of yesterday, it spiked back up to 178.
Yeah, but those were $400 or $500 at one point.
What about the silvers?
The silvers of that card.
That's going to be huge because that's a 2016. There was no production.
Those have really dropped off. So the last sale, it's a low pop for a PSA 10, only 136 of them, but it's down to 687. Those were
Man, that's still too much.
Back in June, they were 1,400. But
here's the thing. The best guy to buy right now, other than Giannis, who's probably high, but I still feel like he's not high enough, is Jokic. Jokic is unbelievable. Jokic's team is getting destroyed. He has Dan Murray all year. He's going to lose Porter Jr. I hope you sold your Porter Jr.'s because
one of the only right moves we've made so far.
Yeah.
That back. Ugh.
But Jokic has this ability to, it doesn't really even matter who's on his team. He still puts up crazy stats and the team wins. And at some point, people are going to realize like this is a generationally great guy.
When can we do Ben Simmons for Kyrie? That's what I want to see happen. That's my made up fantasy world trade that I think makes my KD collection go nuts. Ben
that
Simmons
would be
on the
really
Nets.
Fun. The Kyrie, I hope you don't have any of those.
I bought some Kyrie Prism because they're so low. I was like, I can't say no. Those were $1,500 cards. Jesse, look up Kyrie Prism while my dogs are going nuts downstairs like idiots.
Jesse, don't. Don't look that up. Nobody should buy Kyrie's.
I don't know who
just
to
don't.
Listen to.
Just don't. Look. Don't listen to Mike. I'm overruling Mike.
That's fair. Yes, sir.
Look up the Paul George from the same, I think it was the same year though, wasn't it? Or was that 2011?
Paul George is, 2011.
Because Paul George has a chance to be like second team All-NBA again this year.
Wait a minute. Isn't Paul George in before that?
I thought he was the 2011, but maybe that got nudged to the
2010
Donruss class. I don't even know.
2010 Donruss is what it's showing.
2010. No, it's 2000. He's in one of the two good boxes, the 11 box or the 13 box. One of the two loaded boxes with the prisms.
Well, the one that is being deemed as his rookie card is from the 2010 Donruss box, but.
What is that going for?
So,
yeah, 2010, 2011. You're right. Yep.
A PSA 10 of that card is going $500.
The pop's got to be low, though.
It is. It's only 57.
He doesn't have a Prism rookie. That's the thing. Prism didn't come out till 12. So he has
right.
Prism cards, but it's second year.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But that's
really
a good play.
Pop count on
that
this.
Second year stuff on a lot of those guys is a good play. I just watched some Wayne Gretzky super high second year stuff. Same thing. Second year stuff, I think, is always undervalued.
I have the Gretzky second year one, and it's basically like a rookie.
Yeah, he's just standing in the white jersey, right?
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's finally picking up some steam.
Because I think that was the Ray Bourque year.
Yeah, 79. Yeah, 79. Yeah. Yep.
Bill, I'm curious about your take, because this is the one player that we haven't talked about, is LeBron had a huge drop in value. Do you foresee that coming back?
No. They're done. That team is not
Mikey.
That team is not a contender. They're just not. And they have no outs. They can't trade Westbrook.
This isn't good.
How many more years do you think LeBron has?
It's almost like Bill has a list of the guys I'm super. Okay, here you go, though. Holdest heavying spot is MJ. How do you feel about Michael Jordan historically?
No, Jordan. Well, you know my theory on the Jordan stuff. I feel like there's 86. So much 86 flair out there. I think somebody has this warehouse and they just keep putting it out in the market. It's like counterfeit money almost.
So I finally went out and got the 86 as a BGS 9.5 with 9.5 centering. I think I bought it at the bottom of the new market. So I'm okay with that one. Everything else is just Brady, Bill, Russell, and Bird. I'm very boring these days.
Well, what about our hero, Mac Jones?
Oh my God.
I have some funny Mac Jones stories. All on me losing money because I sold too early. Making money, losing money. First of all, is
his Prism out yet?
No, Prism hasn't dropped this year yet. But his Don Russ card, we talked about this last episode. Don Russ, just cheap crap brand. There's 34 PSA 10s because people haven't gotten them back yet. That's the only reason. Right. They're hitting $3,000.
Dude.
Oh my God.
People listen from our last episode, though. On our last episode, it had just sold for $3,000. Uh-huh. Now, it sold on Tuesday for $2,200, and then it sold yesterday for $1,300.
Good. So it's the dumbest thing of all time. Yeah. But his other stuff is going nuts. And you know what's funny about Mac Jones? The NFT thing has gotten huge with Panini, the NFT packs. I've actually been buying them. I flipped a Mac Jones in like a week. I bought it for $100, flipped it for $400. Now it's $1,500. Mac Jones is not only cards, even the digital stuff. Mac Jones is fire. He's outselling Lawrence by a huge amount. Everybody, not even close.
Jesse, you know who the first guy to believe in Mac Jones was?
Was it you, Bill?
It was Bill Belichick. You know who the second guy was?
Bill Simmons.
The second best Bill?
This guy right here with two thumbs.
He comes on here with good news, then just a lot of gloating.
Did Mike come on before the season and predict a Pats-Bucks Super Bowl for 7 minutes?
Mike was very wish-washy on Mac, I feel like. There were days where he was high on Mac.
I think you were too. I totally agree.
You talking me, Mike?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you,
Gio. I was high on Cam. I thought Cam was going to get the starting job, and I thought but you got to admit, the offense was revamped around his strong suits, which is he can't throw. Perfect. Two great tight ends.
Jesse, should we cut some of the old podcasts out of the archives from
when Mike was... Hey, Ronnie, can you go ahead and cut that?
Can we do that?
No, when Mike was praising Cam Newton over Mac Jones, just delete those from the archives.
How do we just like in the middle of this podcast, just cut a clip of Mike saying how great Cam was and Mac would never succeed?
Cam Newton, then he comes back, he's dominating. We can do the
Uber
now.
Eats where it's like dubbed in. I think Mac Jones should be the quarterback. From last year's class, I think Jefferson is still undervalued by everybody. I think Jefferson, I've actually bet on the Vikings a few times, so I've watched a lot of them. He's always open. He's unbelievable.
Kirk Cousins, by the way, have you seen his numbers?
It's crazy. He's like the Jim Everett of this generation.
No, less mullet, but unbelievable. I mean, he like ridiculous how, and Justin Jefferson is discriminated against because of his position. No question. If he was not a wide receiver and that good, although he is far outselling it. I'm trying to think, like last year, Jerry Jeudy, CD Lamb, Claypool for a while.
CD was higher than Jefferson, though.
He was. Jefferson is now.
Because of the Cowboys thing. Jefferson should be the highest guy.
Yeah. And then Joe Burrow and Herbert stuff is untouchable. Like those two. And Burrow is finally creeping back to his level. Not to mention my guy Tua playing fantastic.
This will be a big week for Burrow versus Herbert in the rookie card race.
Oh, are they playing each other this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, I was so focused on Mac going into Buffalo and dominating the Bills. My Mac Jones. I was so excited about that game. I haven't paid attention to the rest.
The irony of that game, he's the reason they wouldn't win this game because they're better than the Bills. Yeah. If he looks like a rookie QB on a Monday night and he just finally has that, I forgot Mac Jones is a rookie and this is a really big spot. And
like
he made a couple dumb plays.
Saints game 2.0.
Now, you could say he got that game out of the way in the Saints game, but
this is a big game.
They're better than the Bills. They're tougher. They're more balanced. They're just a better team. And the Bills lost White last week, who is their best guy on defense. They should beat the Bills, but Mac could suck. Like, who knows? It's a rookie. Brady, even as a rookie, as a first year starter, he had a couple stinkers that year.
He had a couple this year too. Tom, man, as hot as he started, I was like, this is ridiculous. Although I still think he might win the MVP. He's right in the discussion.
Everybody knows this.
I have the Pats at 30-1 to win the AFC. I have Brady to win the MVP at 5-1.
He's got to be close to the front runner, right?
He is the front runner now.
He is.
Plus,
okay.
Plus 250.
Yeah, because Derrick Henry, I thought, was going to win it just because of how dominant he was. But now, you know, he's not coming back. So,
but honestly, that's why you should never buy a running back card ever. Think of all the running, like McCaffrey got hurt again.
He's out for the season, isn't he?
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
And McCaffrey's there, be like, oh, McCaffrey's
Dalvin
incredible.
Cook's done too. I think, Dalvin is it Cook out for done. The season?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get why people don't invest in non-quarterbacks. The flip side and why it stinks is guys like Jefferson who are so good. It's like, yeah, but when he misses a game, it's over. It takes so much time to build up momentum. That's why.
Jesse, what's Travis Kelce's rookie at right now? Because I think that's a guy.
He's still, I don't know.
If you're buying like a Chiefs resurgence, Kelce would have to be part of that. He's looked good the last couple weeks. And if you look at his stats, it's another like crazy stat year for him. And at some point, everybody's going to look at each other and go, wow, this guy's putting up the best stats of any tight end in the history of the league. His rookie card should be worth more.
See, Mahomes is who I went in on. People started crapping on Mahomes, which I thought, I started hearing people have figured him out, which I think is ridiculous. They haven't figured out Mahomes.
He just had some dumb turnovers. Is Mahomes still low?
Yeah, compared to his historic high, like the Super Bowl? Way
low. I'm in on Mahomes. He's low from the start of the season. What's the Mahomes card?
So I've got a
2018 Prism, like one of those refractors?
Yeah, 2017 is his rookie year. The Prisms in 2017, there were no rookies. Everything was just, or no base. Everything was a silver. So that silver PSA 10 is I don't know how much below, but is well below 10 now, which it was way above. The optic hollows, all that stuff's cheap. Everything of his is way low.
I thought Mahomes started bouncing back. By the way, Travis Kelce is 2013 Topps Chrome PSA 10. It's 500. Pretty 146, bro.
What's the pop on that?
200.
$146? This is a pump and dump.
Yeah, I'm buying that before we even finish this
graphic.
Pod.
Bill's pump and dump. Travis Scott is a great buy. $150?
2013 Topps Chrome, $150.
I did some research on him a couple of weeks ago for a pod, and I ended up never kind of doing the actual bit I wanted to do because we ran out of time. But like, it's basically him, it's Gronk, it's Tony Gonzalez. Tony. A little Shannon Sharp, but he's not even kind of on the same level as with the amount of years in a row of
was
like,
Antonio in that discussion?
No.
Back into the discussion? No?
Antonio Gates? No, he's not at the same level.
Really?
There's only really like a couple guys ever who over and over again had like 115 targets a year and, you know, 10 TDs, all that stuff. And Kelce's, I think, only 32. I don't think he's had any major injuries, at least lately, but you think like he's with Mahomes.
That Kelce one, he actually does have another rookie, the 2013 Prism PSA 10 that's selling a little bit more, but there's only 150 of them for
second year Prism.
For 250.
Oh. Right. So you want the Topps Chrome Kelce rookie.
See, I like Topps anyways, because old school, like even me, I prefer Topps stuff. Old school Topps for football.
You know
what's
dipped? You know what's dipped, Mike? The late 90s stuff for NBA.
Dipped is the nicest expression you've said. That is in the tank. Kobe stuff is brutal. All that stuff. All those rookies who we were like, hey, these are all top 75 guys. Super.
I think that's just
Duncan's
a matter of time,
way down.
Though.
All those guys way
I
down.
I just think people are putting their money toward the new guys, but the two guys for me are Duncan and I mean, KG too, but that's like kind of an easier card to get. But the Duncan and Dirk cards, if you can get those chrome cards that aren't like haven't turned green, you know, some of those chrome cards.
But Duncan's Topps Chrome is only like, Jesse, look this up. 97 Topps Chrome, Tim Duncan, PSA 10. I want to say that card's, it had gotten as high as 2000, maybe less than a year ago. I think it's like $500-$600 now.
No.
And the pop count is under 2,000.
$511.
That's what I'm saying. What's the pop? 1,800?
2,400 on the pop count.
Still, compared to 20,000 Lucas, 20,000 Zions.
What's,
I like that
what's
play.
What's Dirk?
Oh, Dirk. So Dirk would be
Dirk
98.
Was 98. Yeah, 98. Oh, man. So I was loading up on those late 90s guys and all the prices have gone down. But why have they gone down?
I think it just spiked too high, too quick. Honestly,
well, and a lot of guys are upside down on these bigger cards. They don't want to sell out and lose money, and they don't have the money to put back into the market. And then overall,
then grading
economy,
shut down. Can't get your liquidity back out of that. Kobe's the guy who murdered me for that. He's the only guy I bought super heavy during that time because I was like, people are just going to keep talking him up, and it's going to go crazy. But that is
how much
by
did you
far.
Think the Dirk was worth?
So what card are you talking, Jess?
I mean, the Dirk hit like 3,500 at one point.
So 98, yeah, even higher than that. It went up to 45. It looks
like. Isn't it like 18 right now? 15, 18?
Yeah, it's below two.
Yeah, at this point, it's 1,600.
What's the pop count there?
Only 162.
Yeah, that's.
What?
I'm getting that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's too low.
100, for a base card? That's not the for refractor.
Nope. Base.
That's insane. That's my new thing. We want to rip old wax.
That's why I think there's going to be a big resurgence in vintage, because there's going to be more people who see the exact same thing you guys are seeing, and they're going to be like, why is this? Let me get him while he's cheap.
You think that's it happens again?
Slowly build it back up. Big I don't know. Spike. I don't know if it has as big of a spike as we did in like February, but definitely you're going to see these prices come up. Well, also, I don't see it go much lower.
There's less PSA graded stuff lately, so you're kind of staring at the same stuff over again. I do think my theory on this stuff is I do think the NFT Top Shot stuff, some of that money has moved there, where when people are going nuts buying cards 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think some of, like my son yesterday was badgering me to do Top Shot. He was like, Dad, some kid at school, $10 Top Shot. It's sold it for $300. We've got to get Top Shot packs. I'm like, I'm not doing that. You're never talking me into it. I'm just not doing it. I know Jesse loves it.
I'm in on it too now. I am. I hate to say it. I don't even like it, but I'm like, I respect the market now. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I mess with it.
Well, and it's cool because like the Prism, all the Prism cards that guys are wanting to get, they're all going to come out here before they come out there. Oh. And there is some, it's kind of fun. Like there's a real similarity in the, like the emotional response in my brain that I get from opening a pack to opening a digital pack. I don't know.
And that's the only place you can get 2021 rookies and pro uniforms right now, because they already released Prism, which I think is a good move. They knew the physical card was going to be super late, so release it digitally first. It's not a bad
thing. I have a Jesse question.
Sure.
Go for it, boss.
Do I do an NFT of the original memo from 2007 that created 30 for 30?
Oh, 100%.
That I sent to my ESPN boss. The original memo.
Unless you hate money, yes. We're getting an NFT.
I don't know if we're talking about that.
Yeah, we're not, but we're maybe doing it. See, Bill, honestly, you laugh about that. That would be, if you did that and it was like a one of a kind thing. Do you have
a memo? It lays out the title. It lays out the concept of the series, why we should do it. It's a whole thing.
I'm going to say that would sell for, if you only did one, not like a whole, everybody could
just
have
I would just do one.
I bet that goes 50 to 100,000. And if you put in the physical, so Bill, if you did the physical, I'm not kidding you. If you did at the auction on OpenSea or whatever platform, which we have NFT contacts if you need it, not a big deal, small commission. If you did that in the actual memo, do you have the physical memo itself or is it just an email?
Well, it's an email.
Yeah, so, okay, so nothing physical.
You can do it, but you could always just throw in some kind of like tchotchke of like
if you
Bill
printed,
Simmons signed this. Or,
like if you printed a copy, I'm not kidding. If
signed
you printed,
email, printed out,
a copy
one
of the email,
signed email.
Autographed it and it went with the digital copy, I bet that goes for $100,000.
Sell five of them.
It's ridiculous.
Sell five at 50K.
What about
each?
The original email we got with our Ringer contract? Me and Jesse sign it, $50.
Oh, the original Instagram direct message. Hey, this is actually Bill Simmons. Oh yeah. Well,
no,
it was Chris
Vernon.
And then
get
Bill.
Your stuff right.
Yeah.
Okay. Revisionist history. We're signed on for another year.
I want to do the text message when Mike got upset that we were changing producers. He thought we didn't care about the show as much. And I was like, no, Ronick's good.
I was not happy about that.
Well, it turns
Ronick
out,
done well.
You're fine. Ronick's the guy.
Oh, he'll
Ronick's
do
a great job. Mike was like, I don't know. I don't like this. Mike's just always suspicious. He
changed.
Mike carries himself like Lorraine Bracco and Goodfellas when De Niro's trying to send her toward the dresses. No, it's like, it's over there. It's just
keep going
a little bit further.
Keep
she
going.
Like doesn't trust anything.
I gotta go.
That's Mike. Yeah, I gotta go.
It didn't work out well for her, as I recall. This is
Can I give you one more card thing? I think
Absolutely.
This is a great time to buy cheaper PSA stuff if you're trying to fill out sets or get like, you know, later in their career Hall of Famer, stuff like that. Because you figure like any PSA grade now is worth $30, right?
Yeah.
And if you're work a set, well, in your point about a set, if you don't have it graded, you're not going to get it graded. Not with PSA.
Right.
So you have to buy it. Yeah. PSA 9s have also tanked hard, which makes no sense to me because 10 has become so elusive. I would have thought 9 follows suit, like the trickle down effect. It has not happened.
Honestly, to Bill's point, though, I've thought about that same thing, just not even like a specific card of anything, but going out in any like any player that you've at least heard of. Going and buying his PSA 9 or 10 if it's less than $30, because it's like these are going less than the grade themselves. There, I feel like there's got to have some upside potential. Like I just did it. I just searched PSA 10 in eBay. That's all I searched. Last card sold was a Ben Simmons 2019 Optic Fanatics card, PSA 10, for $25.
Here's my favorite Bill Simmons text. We're going to NFT. Just when I think I've taught you something, you wait 15 minutes to get to the lead story. Really missed it.
But that was a really good point, though. We did mess. We messed that one up.
It was a massive story. It was somebody was out for the year. It was a trade or something.
It was a Simmons has said he's not going to come back and play. Yep, that's fair. I enjoy these. I'm NFTing all of our text messages. I'm excited. Do you have any thoughts on this baseball? Do you care? I'm curious. Do you care about baseball at all?
Yeah, I care about the Red Sox. I don't really care about the sport.
That's how
I did watch the World Series.
I didn't watch a minute. But I did watch the ALCS in a bar with my dad in Boston, and they got smoked by the Astros. That was fun.
I watched more Red Sox this year than I have probably since the 2008 season. So I'm not worried it's going to go away. I think this is all posturing. But
that was our big picture story today. The impact on the strike on the hobby.
I think it has no impact at all. I think everybody expects it to come back.
Plus, prospects get to keep playing. If you're not on the 40-man roster, winter ball, spring ball, if anything, and Bowman Draft, which is a massive release, is coming out in 3 weeks, that stuff's going to be even more expensive because no one cares about the pros now. All drafts.
When is my guy Marcelo coming out? Is that in that series?
He will be in draft, yeah. So his first Bowman card and auto, unless for some reason he doesn't sign, which I can't imagine, I think it's the 29th of the month, which is the latest that's ever come out too. Even baseball is getting pushed back now because of production.
The Red Sox, they had the highest draft pick they'd ever had in like 25 years last year because of the stupid COVID season that was 60 games. So they got the fourth pick in the draft.
But the best player in the draft
for whatever reason just fell to four. I think people thought he was expensive. He was a high school shortstop. This guy, Marcelo Mayer. And I was thinking like I turned 52 this year. This guy might be in my life until I'm like 76.
Oh, that's a weird way to think about it.
Because I was thinking like Mac Jones, I might be 70 and Mac Jones still might be my quarterback. Like I might have gone from Tom Brady at age 31 all the way to like 40 years of my life with two QBs, which is what you want.
Nice.
That's where you want to be.
Well, don't forget Cam. How can we forget the magical 2020?
Cam was like, you know, that was like a blip. But this
that is interesting.
This mayor would make up for them trading Mookie, which I still haven't gotten over, especially when, you know, you see they're going to buy the Penguins and all this stuff. And you're they also traded, cool.
By the way, what is the deal last night? I didn't even see this till this morning. They traded Hunter Renfro for Jackie Bradley Jr.?
No, they were buying a prospect. They're basically getting this prospect that the Brewers had that they wanted, that this kid who rakes.
Jesse, get the details in this trade now, because now I'm curious who this kid is.
I think his name is Benalas, Alex Benalas.
I'm going to have to find where his cards are then, because I was like, why would you? Renfro had a great year.
Renfro's smoking mirrors. I was fine with it. When he came up in the playoffs, I never thought he was getting a hit.
They got Alex Benalas and David Hamilton.
Yeah, Alex Benalas. He's like the 15th. He was a third round pick from Louisville and he rakes. The Red Sox, the guy together on the Red Sox other than Mayer is this
Blaze
Cassis, the first baseman.
Oh, Tristan. Yep. His stuff. But Blaze Jordan is their hottest prospect in the card market. But Tristan Cassis plays well. You know what it is? Blaze hits home runs. Like he has a wicked
bat. Does Cassis. See, it's like tape measures.
He's a first baseman?
Yeah.
Why do I think he was a third base? So Cassis is 2018. Blaze is 2020.
Cassis was on the Olympic team they had, or that national, I forget what.
Oh, that U15.
The World Classics, whatever. And he was like one of the best guys in the team.
I thought Bobby Dalbec was going to do that this year. Another prediction gone wrong. Since I've joined the Ringer team here.
No, Bobby D had an okay year. He was fine.
I thought he was going to hit 40 home runs.
He was hot the last 2 months.
He was.
Then they kind of buried him in the playoffs, which sucked.
Yeah, that's baseball, I'm with you. I mean, we got a lot of questions about that.
Wait, I have last question, then I have to go. So if we think the Pats are going to make the Super Bowl, which I really do, if they can stay healthy, I really think they have a great chance. Shouldn't Mac still be low? Like, if you think Mac has a chance to be a Super Bowl quarterback this year, wouldn't it make sense to go in on Mac with whatever product is out there before that happens?
Well, I was just going to, before you give the actual opinion, I just wanted to say what we talked about in the last episode was just that he's too high now to the point of sell now while he is this high because he's going to dip, but then get back in because he does have a lot of upside potential.
Okay, that works. But yeah, if you're talking he's going to go to the Super Bowl,
dips.
He won't dip if he makes a Super Bowl run, which makes it tough. You just have to be careful. This is the only time in history where pop count means nothing for a player, because that's why that Donruss card is going to be $400 in a month. And people are going to get smoked. But like his patch autographs that are out right now, we did a flawless break for myself the other day. It's a college product, which I hate. But I pulled the Mac Jones encased patch auto to 25. I bought it from the guy. We split the box, which we still lost in the box. It was like $3,000, but we got it allocated, whatever. I bought it because I thought, honestly, it's $800 now. That same card as Patrick Mahomes is $5,000. It's probably come down. That's probably $4,000. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but if they're winning consistently and people are hyped up, it's not a bad play. And I don't know who's the lock in the AFC right now. That's the other thing. I think there's like 5 or 6 teams you could say if they made the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked.
If you go to Football Outsiders, which is like really the first excellent advanced stat site, they have the Pats as the highest odds to make the Super Bowl of any team. Like
in
based
the
on
AFC
all their
or
metric.
Any team, period.
No, any team, period. They have the Pats 1, Bucks 2.
Oh, and
interesting.
Really?
They're the most well-rounded.
Huh.
But, look, Mac could suck in this Buffalo game. And then we could all be like, what were we thinking? You can't win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. But if he's good in this game, if they beat the Bills and he's good, I think that narrative will be like they're the team to beat. Plus, I wish there was Belichick rookie cards. It's unbelievable by him.
He's got that weird pro set stuff. And he's got some autographs. It's funny, though. There's always been a little bit of a controversy with Belichick autograph cards because people don't know they are, because he literally just writes his name. It's just like penmanship. It's not even cursive. So it was always
really?
There was like a weird thing going on with some of his stuff for a long time. So like, this is just like a reprinted name. It's like, no, that's how the dude signs his autograph. He walks around in a hoodie all day. I mean, what does he know about cursive?
How much longer is Belichick in, by the way, Bill? What do you think? Like, because a
couple
10
years.
Yeah, he's
10 years.
Ooh. Yeah, that guy's cruising along.
If something happened to him tomorrow, though, do the Pats fall off? Or
yeah, he's
okay,
100%.
So it's without him, the Mac Jones doesn't really have a real future with the Pats.
He's a 500 quarterback without Belichick this year.
All right, Mike, settle down. Mac Jones has been great. What are you talking about?
If that team doesn't have Belichick right now, they're 6-6. He's so inclined to just disagree with me. Now he's thinking, he's like, wait a minute, Mike made a good point. Good point.
There's a culture that this team has that's very reminiscent of the early 2000s teams.
Because of Bill. That's what I mean. Mac's been great. They're losing at least 2 or 3 more games.
Mac's really good, though. I mean, I'm stunned by some of the stuff he's done. He's also gotten the crap kicked out of him this season. He's taken like 25 monster hits.
That hit on the Saints, what was that, like week 2, 3, whatever?
How about the Cowboys?
The Cowboys hit. That's the one I was like, he's done. If that's a 30-year-old quarterback, he is done. He's RG3. Yeah, shocking.
Last thing, I spent some time with Ken Golden recently.
Okay.
And I was asking him, like, what is he like that he feels like people haven't totally come around on? And he had the same answer that I have, the boxes. The 70s and 80s.
Here's the only trouble with this. I don't disagree with it now. I struggle, though, because some people were saying this 6 months ago. Matter of fact, we talked to you about this.
Can we clarify? What are the boxes? What are we talking about?
Sealed hobby boxes.
Oh, just wax. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Wax. So like that bird box, I just about pulled the trigger and it was like 40,000, I think, at one point, 35,000. Even that has come way down.
That's good.
So I'm starting to agree with you now. I think we're going to be doing some stuff on our social media with Ken, by the way, lately. You're a Ken guy. This is
his,
good.
His take, in the family. His take, which was really smart, is that there's only so many of them out there, right? Some people are opening them. Other people just aren't opening them. And then when they buy them, they're just holding them. So at some point, the inventory is just going to be gone because they got to open. It's like almost like thinking like wine. Like if there's a certain number of bottles from 1982 and somebody buys them, they'll either drink them or they stash them and they're just gone either way. And his thing with the boxes is like they only made so many and every year the number goes down.
I guarantee you someone starts grading boxes. They've already graded
packs.
And they grade
grading boxes.
They grade VHS cases.
GAI grades some of the boxes, but the guy, the BBC guy, the baseball card, that's the established guy that everybody trusts. Yeah, he wraps them. He like vindicates. It still seems like it would be pretty easy to cheat a box, but he's apparently really good at trying to figure out what's real and what's not real.
It adds a ton of value. That stuff, like, crazy because no one's buying that stuff without the wrap. It makes sense. Maybe we should buy a Bird Box now, Jesse. We're opening our new office. We bought a place. We're going to make a studio. Let's put the box in there. Boom.
Going to make a studio like to open packs and stuff?
Yeah, opening packs.
We bought.
Are you going to call it the Bill Simmons Center? The Bill Simmons Studio? Are you naming it after me?
We named it the BS building is what we called it. The BS building? Yeah. We move in like, I hope, like 3 weeks.
The big BS?
The big BS.
Where's this going to be?
Still in Nashville. Right north of Nashville. So when you come to visit for the show, you have a nice building to come into. It's like brand new.
I actually might come visit for two reasons, and neither of them include you.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
One is one of my wife's best friends live there, so they've actually gone to Nashville, my family, without me, to see our friends there. That's fair. One. Two, they have a couple schools that are like possibles for my daughter, 11th grade.
Vandy, Belmont?
Vandy and Belmont.
Oh, yeah. College. Oh, I don't know.
About college. So who knows? We could be there for a little college tour.
If you do, you may hear, I'm curious if you ever hear from the restaurant called Bourbon. It's like the nicest restaurant in the city. It's on the 35th floor of a hotel. This will be the last story. I took my wife there recently for our anniversary. Awesome place. Like the best place in town. Then on a hunch, or on a whim, I should say, me and Jesse and our wives, it was like 3 weeks ago. No, you can never get in. You need like a month's reservation. I was like, you know what, Jess?
You dropped my name?
You're darn right we did. I said, give him a call. Just tell him you're the publicist and Bill Simmons is in town. I'm going to tell you right now, though, Bill, it almost worked. At first, she was like, there's nothing open. Then Jesse's like, well, this is for Mr.
I was like, okay, I was hang on.
Immediately, we had a time open.
How many
up.
Did you need?
It was just too late.
Four?
They couldn't open up till 9 o'clock and we weren't staying out late. So if you come to Nashville,
we
not
actually
your fault.
Got the table, though. That's what I mean. We got the table. It just wasn't
name's got some staying power.
Listen, the legacy
of the
pod.
Aren't you glad you signed us for another year? I'm telling you.
The legacy of this pod over everything else is one, Mike doesn't listen to notes. Yep. Two, nobody enjoys their random wedding anniversary more than Mike.
I love my
honestly,
wife.
Honestly, it's like, it's our 14th year together.
Week-long
celebration. What's going to happen when it's like a 20th anniversary?
Let me read the NFT. Like,
blowout.
Go on
nobody
vacation
in the
for
history
like
of the world has ever been as excited as you about a 13th anniversary.
Yeah, I said that
I take
to Mike.
That. Best husband ever, buddy. Right here.
What a suck up.
What a suck up indeed.
It's people like Mike that make it, that ruin it for the rest of us normal husbands.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Why don't you care about our anniversary as much as Mike does? Mike's 13 years. He's acting like he finished a marathon.
Hey, Miss Simmons, I'm sorry. I'm trying to help you out here. Your husband's stubborn. All he does is throw shade. What do you want me to do? I can't help
Jesse,
you.
What's the 20th anniversary? Like Mike he quits for a year and just travels the world like Forrest Gump with his wife?
I'm not going to be working at 20. We're out. We got a whole new business launching in January. We are out of work next year, retired, done. Over.
Oh my God.
I've been texting you about this. I was going to get you on the ground level.
Should we
level.
Not renew the podcast?
Oh, no. We'll still do the podcast. This is going to be very passive, but this is it. This is the golden ticket idea, and then we're done.
We'll
do the podcast for fun.
You didn't text me about the idea. And
I don't get a response.
You should text me about the idea. What do you mean don't get a response?
You know what? I like being transparent here. I didn't know if it was time to breach that whole thing with you. Like, hey, Bill, thanks for giving us a huge opportunity with the Ringer. By the way, we also want to pitch you a business thing. I wasn't comfortable with that.
Well, I think you should do it.
I think I'm going to call you after the show, then.
Pitch him right now on air.
No, NDA. We cannot do it right now.
But before you pitch me the idea, let's have 15 minutes of meaningless banner before you get to it.
That's the only way we do
business. Now I don't know if he wants me to call him. See, you throw in crap like that. Now I don't know what I'm supposed to do. We have to go. This is it. We're done.
All right.
We can be done with the show. Are we done?
You too. Congrats, guys. Great
job. Thank you, Mr. Simmons. I'm
going
to call you now. I'm very excited. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
We always appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. 'Tis crunchy yet soft. 'Tis filling yet has a hole. 'Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
Jedi are being murdered.
On June 4th, Star Wars returns, only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it. Believe me.
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. an acolyte.
Star Wars The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney+.
Well, nothing like throwing you off your rhythm than when the boss comes in. I tell you, this goodness. Was a big day. This is exciting.
I honestly don't know where to go from here. I've also been so quiet for so much of the show that
I'm sorry.
I feel like I should. No. And honestly, I feel like the audience is going to love it because they wanted to hear what Bill had to say. But also, it's like, I want to hear what Bill has to say, too. I'm like,
me, too. Yeah, a lot of it. And honestly, too. And he could tell the rookie stuff for the 2021 class. I know some of the big guys, but he starts throwing out. I'm like, you got me. Like,
oh, Maxie. I'll go ahead and tell you. I spent 5 minutes trying to find out who that guy was. I don't know who it was. Tell me right now. Who's Maxie?
Maxie for the Phillies. He was a rookie last year.
Give me a full name.
Oh, is it Tyrese Maxey? Ronick will know. Ronick, what is Maxey's first name?
It's Tyrese Maxey. Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey.
Ronick, by the way, doing a great job, bud.
He is doing a good job. Ronick, did you know?
How far ahead did you know?
Yeah, did you know we were getting booked again or signed up again?
I knew right before the Luber interview because he wanted to come on and announce the news.
Oh, that's awesome.
You should never have told us that, Ronick, because now we're going to know that you do know things and don't tell us. That's now okay. We're going to badger you about it.
You know what? That's great. I like the fact. And he's right. We don't always listen. And would the podcast probably be a little bit more successful at times, I'm sure, if we took counsel.
Possibly.
Better. But I think it's cool. He acknowledged the fact we're the most transparent. We talk about everything on here. That's my goal.
No one can ever accuse us of being fake or reading from scripts. Because sound a lot better.
Am I supposed to call him about this thing?
I think obviously this is you're supposed to call.
I got
to
call.
I think we need that. We've already talked about it too much on the air. But yeah, I think maybe.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah. But hey, year did you two, have, here we come, baby.
I'm very excited. Did you have an NFT? I had a thing here.
Big
an NFT.
Picture.
Ronick, fire it up, baby.
All right, go ahead and cut everything before this, and did we'll start
an,
now.
Did you have an NFT thing or not really?
Is it was just to point out that if anyone is, you know, interested in NFTs, but they haven't been interested in the basketball spin, they have NFT Mosaic coming out, I believe, tomorrow. There's going to be some downtown inserts in there, too.
Oh, check I saw this.
Yeah.
Football,
yes, I'm sorry. NFL.
Gotcha. On yep. Panini Direct.
Yes. So check it out.
I do want to hit a couple of these notes. I'll be very brief. But because the MLB was such a story.
Yes.
So
I've
this
got
is
whatever
the,
you need on that, by the way.
Let me just hit these and be. I mean, yeah, okay. Like I think yep, at this point, plus the time. Anybody not on a 40-man roster is not affected by the lockout. So prospects, guys from draft the past couple of years who have not signed, Adley Rauschman, Riley Green, Bobby Witt Jr., Dominguez, all those guys, this has no effect. And not to mention the fact that we're months away from work anyways. Will there actually be a work stoppage? Who knows? But then the question was, well, how does it affect, because we're not going to have time for mailbag. So how does it affect WAX? That we got that a lot. How does this affect current guys?
Mm-hmm.
So current stars, if for some reason this stretched all the way until April 8th, which is the deadline for when the minor league begins, it could have a major impact if you're not seeing stars. The flip side of that, though, if you're not seeing the big leagues, ESPN apparently has some sort of a clause where they could play minor league games. Talk about massive. Like, what happens when Adley Rauschman hits a home run on ESPN in the minor leagues? Like, that could actually have a huge upside. In terms of it affecting WAX, I don't think it will. In the next two major releases, there's three big releases in December. In 2 weeks, we have Inception. Inception's an awesome product that is vet-heavy. Is a Ronald Acuna patch auto worth less now than in a month? I just don't see it. I think it holds value. Bowman draft is the 29th. Again, draft. None of those guys are affected. Bowman's best is the 31st. Again, draft prospect heavy products. I don't think we see any immediate effect. We have a month until those things come out. If it's still no deal signed in a month, we'll talk.
Honestly, my take is, and I could be off base, but I think if you're a collector, a card holder, you're probably hoping for the strike to continue because I view this, now I could be wrong.
As an opportunity to buy?
I view this as an opportunity for card values to start going up because we have a position like we saw last year, 2020, COVID, seasons off. Guys want to be part of this. Baseball is now limited because there's no one, they're not playing. They have the cards that are already out. Those cards go up in value just because you don't have more cards coming out in the next year. I think it's a bottom.
There's no. So let me just say this, though. This will not slow down product coming out next year. So it may eventually, but there's still going to be a lot of products slated for.
Okay. So no.
February,
so product
March.
Still comes out. But I think it still has a similar effect that we saw where guys couldn't get in on the hot or they couldn't get their fix on their baseball by watching the game. So everybody started trading more. I think that's. it doesn't mean it's going to skyrocket or go crazy like it did last year, but I do think that prices go up from here if the lockout continues.
Cool. Let's be done. I don't want to, it's hard to follow that up. Like, I want to hit those notes, but I think we're good.
Yeah. No, okay. I think.
Year two, I'm not going to lie. I've been playing it very cool with you because I didn't want you to panic. Not that you do. I was
You've
just
been
like,
nervous.
You just quit your job. I was like, dude, I don't want this guy to be thinking. And we just bought a building.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you thinking. I am very excited about that. That's pretty cool.
How? So, what percentage we were getting picked up? What
I was dead 50-50.
50-50, that low. Wow. I think I was more of like a 75-25. I was pretty optimistic just because, and I give a lot of credit to the fans, man. Like, there's so many vocal people.
What was that?
Okay, so Spotify does this every year where they will show you, if you are on Spotify, it'll show you what you listen to the most. Like, go back kind of like a year in review type of thing.
And top five, I think it gives you.
We had a ton of people reaching out. And we we didn't post all of them because if we weren't number one, we didn't post it. Yeah. But we posted so many of you guys who showed us how many hours or minutes that you guys listened to us, and that we were the number one podcast of everybody. Thank you guys. And I'm not going to lie, seeing that boosted me up because I was probably closer to like a 60-40. But after seeing how many of you guys reached out, I was like, this is just the ones who listen specifically on Spotify and have gone out of their way to reach out and send these. There has to be 10 times as many. I feel pretty confident. And plus, I was, every time someone would send one, I would like repost it and tag the Ringer and Bill Simmons in them. So I was like, yeah, just make sure they see this too. So,
all right, that is your show. Again, we kind of blew through the MLB story today. The card ladder news is major. Card ladder getting picked up by
That's
PSA.
Huge.
You go to sportscardsnonsense.com. We still are, I confirmed this with them, the only affiliate link with a discount code.
15% people.
And the major complaint has always been, oh, well, there's not enough cards. I have to enter them myself.
That's going
to change. The PSA machine is now behind them. So that's going to change. So there you go. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the podcast. Brought to you by the podcast network. The Ringer Podcast Network. 2022 is going to be wicked awesome. Powered by Spotify. Thank you to Jesse for the good year. Ronick
hey,
as well.
Mike.
You did great. Thank you to Corey, too, who got us off the ground as a producer. Now Ronick's number one, though, just in case there was any doubt about that.
But let's Ronick, be serious. Then Hang Corey. On. Mike, I don't like to compliment you at all.
We wouldn't be here without you. Your words.
We would not be here without you. I just want to say thank you for all the work you do on air and off. I would still be at Dell. I would still be doing things I don't enjoy doing. Instead, I get to hang out with you all week.
What
and
a
it's
joy.
Awesome. So,
we're thanks, players bud. Now, boys. Remember?
Is that a thing? Is that from a thing?
All right. There you go. Right. Have a good day. See you guys back next week, Monday and Thursday. Goodbye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.